I want to talk to you this morning about a topic that I have just been, you know, when opportunities come to preach, I have a hard time steering away from this lately. It just keeps coming back, I'm noticing, over the last year and a bit. And I want to talk to you about being connected to the people that God has put in your life. But before I do that, I just want to lay a couple foundations on, you know, defining some terms. You know, when you're going into a contract, the lawyers in the house would know that you have to define the terms and conditions. And I just wanted to take a second to talk about grace and talk about the body. And I would say this, that a biblical description of grace is that it's an active force of God's enabling power within the life of the believer. You know, it's different. We sometimes mix it up with mercy, but grace is an active force of God's enabling empowerment in the life of the believer. And I specify in the life of the believer because grace activates faith, and faith engages with God's grace for our lives. And the other thing I want to point out is this concept of us being a body that Paul talks about in Scripture repeatedly. He talks about the community of believers being a body. And I'd say that this means that we're actually a lot more connected than sometimes we realize. And as we look at this, I got a few scriptures I want us to look at for anyone who's a note taker. Colossians 2:19, Ephesians 4:15 and 16. And Romans 12, verse 4 to 8. I will repeat those again as we go along here. But let's just read them quickly because I don't want to go too long. I'll just say the context of this scripture in Colossians 2 that we're going to read first is that Paul has finished describing the complete, finished, more than enough work of Christ on the cross. And then he goes in and he begins to criticize self-imposed religious regulations that we can put on our lives. And in the middle of it, he points to this thing saying that we need to hold fast to the head from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. So he's saying, listen, the increase and the growth in your life, it's going to come to you from God. It's not going to come from you putting enough discipline or self-imposed regulations in your life. The growth is going to come into your life and the increase comes into your life from God. But I want to point out, it's interesting to me that he takes the time to throw in this phrase, whom all the body, and then it says, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. In other words, that the growth and the nourishment is coming to us through the joints and ligaments that connect us. It's from God, the head, but he inserts this phrase that it's coming, that we're connected, okay? Go on to some other ones. But I believe that Paul repeats this repeatedly in Scripture because he wants us to realize, those who read his writings, he wanted them to realize that God's blessing and God's increase and God's nourishment for our lives and God's grace flows to us from him through others. God's grace flows to you from him through others. His blessing and his growth and his increase in your life comes to you through others. And we see this again in Ephesians 4. In verse 16, actually we'll read the first part of last part of verse 15. It says, him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. In other words, all this growth, it says it's being caused by Christ the head. But it flows through every joint, every ligament that's connected, every part doing its share. And that your connection to the people around you is actually like, it's what plugs us into the head. It's what plugs us into God. And if you read, I won't get into it, but I'll just say the context of that scripture is he's saying there's these different gifts that he's given to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors, that these different giftings in the church are building up the church, are strengthening the church, are causing the church to come into maturity until the church looks like Jesus, the head from whom this growth and this increase comes, but it comes through the connections. You guys tracking with me? I'm trying to go through it a little quick, so hope we can go along here together. Last one we're going to look at here, Romans 12. And we're going to start in verse 4 and read to verse 8. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." What I want to point out is there in verse 6. It says, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Now, how do we use them? How do we use the grace that's been given to us? You read on through the different descriptions of the gifts, it's in ministering to other people. What I like to say is that the grace given to us isn't just for us. The grace given to us is actually for other people. It is for us, but it is also for other people. God puts grace in and on your life to impact the people that you're connected to. And God has put grace on the lives of people around you that is for you. And you see, because real encounters with God and with His grace inevitably overflow to blessing others. You see it throughout Scripture. We could look at a bunch, but that's another day. I'll just say one in Acts 4:20, where the apostles are saying, we can't help but speak of the things we've seen and heard. We can't help but release it and give it away. And I just want to camp on this idea of the importance of staying connected to the body. We've read some scriptures about it. Now I just want to talk at you and share my thoughts. And I think we need to realize how important these connections they are, how vital they are. Cherish them, steward them, invest into them. Because whether we recognize it or not, I believe that we can limit the impact of the grace of God in our lives based on how we limit our connection with the people God's put in our life. In other words, the connection, the depth of connection, the measure of connection that I am willing to go into is directly related to the measure of God's blessing and increase and grace being ministered into my life. Is that making sense? And I would say even this could also be true. That the measure of connection that I choose to have with the body is also directly related to the success of the body and those around me. Because when I choose to connect my life to other people, there is a give and take. There's a mutual benefit that happens. There's grace on my life that challenges, that inspires, that empowers other people. And there's a grace on your life that challenges and inspires and empowers me. And there is this connection, there's this connectedness that is inherent with being a part of the body of Christ that you can't get away from. And you see, the Christian life was never intended to be successful as a lone ranger. The Christian life is best and most effectively, how do I say this? Christian life prospers and it flourishes in committed connection with a community of believers. You know, you can try on your own, but it was never meant to be that way. I'm not saying, like, you know, Tom Hanks, Castaway, he can be saved. He can be a Christian. He can follow Jesus, but, you know, him and Wilson aren't going to encourage each other that much and, you know, expose each other to that much grace. But if you have the opportunity in your surrounding to be connected to a community of believers, that is your best bet to prospering and flourishing as a follower of Jesus. Because, see, the body works best when all the parts are connected. Like, if you cut an arm off from the body, what's going to happen to the arm? Wither and die. Rendered useless and ineffective. An arm not connected to the body is useless. And it won't last very long. I don't know if there is any medical evidence of an arm able to be cut off and reattached. I don't know. But you don't have long. But here's the thing, is that if the arm is cut off from the body, what's going to happen to the body? It will suffer, it'll be hindered, but it will survive. The body will go on. The body will even be able potentially to thrive still in some ways. But the arm, it's toast. And here's the thing, the body is a lot better off if the arm is connected to it. So on the one side, we know the arm needs the body, but the body's way better off with the arm. The body is far better off with you connected to it. But if you're not connected to the body, you're screwed. Do not cut yourself off from the body. It's not a wise idea. I don't recommend it. Pursue and cherish connection in your life. Proverbs 18:1 says, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. He who isolates himself rages against all wise judgment. It is not a good idea. Connecting ourselves to people in the body of Christ is one of the most sure ways to grow and expand and experience increase and expose yourself to the maximum degree of God's grace that He has for your life. Because the grace that He has for your life is not just in some, you know, mystical funnel between you and heaven. It's actually wrapped up in the people around you. I'm sure there's a mystical funnel too. I think there's all sorts of crazy stuff in the Spirit, how it all works. But I know that I see this in Scripture, that there is dynamic nutrition for me as a believer in staying connected to the body. And in this is the other thought I have, is that we get to be a part of people's breakthrough stories by staying connected. Personal breakthroughs and blessings are not just for you. Your breakthrough is for someone else. Their breakthrough is for you. Remember Romans 12:6, it says, for the grace given to us, right? Through this grace given to us, these gifts are activated. And what are the gifts for? They're not for you. The prophetic gift isn't so that you can sit up and prophesy and everybody goes, whoa, that's so cool. You know? Your ability to be generous isn't so that everybody goes, wow, that person's so amazing. They must have lots of money. You know? It's for the blessing of the body. And I had this conversation actually on the phone with my uncle this week, and he said something that really struck me. My uncle Rick, my dad's older brother, and, you know, I don't even know where he's at with God. I don't think he's saved. And yet he said something that just struck a chord in me. And he said this, I'm going to read it. When real success hits, he was talking to me about financial success, but he says, when real success hits, it hits a whole lot of people. Real success benefits everyone within proximity of it. And when he said that, I remember like, just like, whoa, that like really hearing from it, I mean, I've heard stuff like it before, right? But when I heard it this week over the phone, it challenged me. It challenged me to dream bigger, have bigger expectations for what God wants to do in my life and why, right? Because, see, they used to say this to us all the time when we were at Bethel. They'd say, you know, success is not measured by your own personal gain. I would say this too, success isn't measured by your abilities or your popularity. How well you love God and love people is the measure of your success. And connected to that would be this thought, that your success can be measured by the success of those around you. My breakthrough is your breakthrough, and your breakthrough is my breakthrough. Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. And I believe it's reinforcing this idea of how connected we really are. When I realize how connected I am to Franz, when there is favor and blessing on his life, I'm going to get excited about it, not jealous. And when trauma and crisis hits his life, I'm going to feel it. And I'm going to have empathy and sympathy, and I'm going to care, and I'm going to pray. When we realize how connected we are, mourning with those who mourn and rejoicing with those who rejoice is a natural response. And I think that because of this inherent connection that comes to us by being a part of the body, our words, our thoughts, and our attitudes towards one another are crucial. They're so important. Are we honoring? Are we prophesying over one another? Are we encouraging one another? Are we celebrating each other? Or are we gossiping? Are we criticizing? Are we tearing down? I think that it is vital how we feel and think and speak and interact in relationship to the body. Realize when you're gossiping, when you're criticizing, it's like you're hacking your own hand off or something, you know? It just doesn't make sense. Doesn't mean there's not a place for rebuke and confrontation. If I've got, like yesterday, I had this cut on my finger and I was digging in my backyard for this shed I'm building and I had a ton of dirt in it. And when I was done, I had to go and scrub the dirt out and it didn't feel nice. But I've taken care of the body, right? So I'm not saying it's all butterflies and fun, fuzzy stuff. There is place for confrontation, okay? But our thoughts and our words and our attitudes in the midst of all that and our prayers are so important. See, because through how we choose to relate to people, whether it be through honor or whether it be through slander, we are choosing whether we want to invest into their success or their failure. We are choosing what part of their story we want to be. Do you want to be a part of the breakthrough? Do you want to be a part of the growth? Look at this scripture. Let's go back to Ephesians 4, verse 29. Paul says this, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification that it may impart grace to the hearers. Let's read that again. I love the scripture. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification that it may impart grace to the hearers. Wow is right. I actually have wow written on my notes. It just says wow after that. So amen to the wow. You know, I would go as far to say that when he says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, Could it be that in the same way that we can impart grace to the hearers, there are words that are corruptive in nature? And there is a ton of scripture we could look at to support that idea, but we'll just leave that for another day. But more importantly, we can impart grace to those who hear us. We can impart grace into people's lives through our words. That's a profound idea to me. Let's be people who impart grace. Who wants to be an active conduit of God's blessing and grace into people's lives? Do you want to be someone who you're just like a pipeline from heaven to earth that just, here, have some of this, and you just, through your words, are imparting grace into people's lives? We got to see, you see, in connection to the body, whether Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 14, Ephesians 4, it's talking about different gifts in the body. And these gifts got to be activated. We got to see them activated in the body. For each of us to be strengthened, equipped, exhorted, comforted, encouraged in all the ways we need to do what we're called to do and be who we're called to be. And if you look there in Ephesians 4, sorry, not Ephesians, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul makes this statement. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may what? That you may prophesy, right? Why? Well, if you read verse 3, he says, he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. Then he goes on in verse 5, he says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. I wish you all would prophesy. Why? Why do you think that Paul says, especially my special desire that I want you to have is that you would prophesy? I wish you all would do it. Why do you think Paul says this to them? This is not a rhetorical question. This is a engage with me question. Why does he say this? He speaks life, encouragement, edification, exhortation. Exhortation's more the scrubbing the dirt out of the wound, just so you know. There's a place for that. Comfort. Why do you think Paul thought this was so important? Because he realized in his own walk with God that to do what we're called to do and be who we're called to be, we're going to need some edification, some exhortation, and some comfort along the way, and probably a whole lot of it. Anybody like to someone come rub on your back, you know, hey, you're awesome. Or you just, oh, thanks, you know. We need it. God inspired these words through Paul because he knew that we needed it. He says, church, prophesy. Encourage one another. Exhort one another. Comfort one another. Do you know that when you read the Old Testament, right? There's these scriptures that say, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And you know the most common response to the Spirit of the Lord coming on people in the Old Testament? What was it? They would prophesy. And he prophesied. They were afraid when they saw the angel of the Lord, for sure. It caught them. And there is this thing, though, of prophecy comes out as the Spirit of God would come on people. And we as the church, normal Christian life is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, let's contend for it for you. Let's pray for it. Let's expect it. I know that in my life, there are many prophetic words that have been spoken over my life that are affecting me still today. I know that I am where I am right now and on the trajectory that I am currently on because of some amazing people that God has connected me to over the years and because of the many prophetic words that have been spoken into my life. See, these prophetic words, they still impact me because God's word is eternal in nature. What does the Bible say? The word of the Lord stands forever. The word of the Lord stands firm forever. Stands forever. I just threw firm in there because I heard you say it and it works. But it stands forever. Because God's word is eternal in nature, when mixed with faith, it remains active still today. It still has nourishment for me today. Prophetic words that were spoken over my life 15 years ago still have vital nutrients for me today when mixed with faith. And how many people here, I just want to see a show of hands, you know that where you're at in your life right now is directly related to people God's put in your life and or prophetic words or both that have been spoken into your life. Come on, everybody can raise their hand. You were brought into the world by your mama, right? I mean, there's that too. But anyway, the fact remains, we are all impacted negatively or positively through these connections, through words. And so my hope in sharing this today is to say, get connected and stay connected. If you feel like you're not connected, pursue connections. Ones that you see where there's, man, I like the grace I see on that person's life. And the other thing too is that as you give the grace that God's put on your life, that is where growth comes. That's why we're big believers here in discipling the next generation. Because each of us has a grace to give on our life. And even those kids have a grace to give on their life and so on and so forth. There's this thing that's supposed to be happening of giving and receiving in our lives in the body of Christ. What do I want to encourage? I want to encourage you to bless each other, to encourage one another, desire and pursue that you may prophesy. Go about imparting God's grace into the lives of those around you. All right? I'm going to wrap up here because it's 11:35 and I bet your volunteers down the hall are ready for their kids to be picked up. Oh, there's some wild classrooms down there today. Jesus, we thank you for the finished work of the cross. We thank you that you are more than enough for us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for dwelling within us and in our lives. And God, I ask that you would help us to walk in this way of connectedness and releasing grace to one another. God, that this would be the normal expression within this church, that we would be a community that is strong because of the words and the thoughts and the attitudes and the prayers of those who call this their home, their family. And God, I thank you for the way that you have designed us to prosper and to flourish and to grow in connection to one another. And through that, in connection to you, ultimately. And I ask God that the gifts of the Spirit and your working amongst us would continue to grow and increase. In Jesus' name, amen.